Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 7th, 2012. One of the rules of the road growing up in my family had to do with mail. No one was permitted to open an envelope that had another family member's name on it. If it was addressed to a person by name, the only person who could open the envelope was the person to whom the envelope was addressed. It was the golden rule. We never could look at anybody else's mail. You could certainly share mail. If you got a letter and you wanted to share it with a family member, you could certainly share it. But no family member had the right to simply open another's mail. That has stuck with me even well into adulthood. And so today's lesson from 1 Corinthians feels a little voyeuristic. It feels like we're reading someone else's mail. Paul is addressing a couple of issues in the church at Corinth that were apparently very lively issues. One had to do with a particular individual in the church living in a relationship that was outside the bounds of the norm of the way Christians should live. Paul talks about it being sexually immoral. And there was also apparently this issue in the church at Corinth where people in the church were taking each other to court, suing each other, and having a secular court decide and judge and arbitrate disputes between fellow Christians. Here is just one section out of the passage assigned for today. Paul says, "Now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother or sister, who is sexually immoral or greedy, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or robber. Do not even eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging those outside? Is it not those who are inside that you are to judge? God will judge those outside. Drive out the wicked person from among you." Whew, that's tough stuff there. We spend a lot of time in the Episcopal Church wanting to make sure that we're not judging anyone, that everyone feels welcome. We spend a lot of time working on inclusivity, and the directness of Paul's language here, well, that just makes us uncomfortable. I'm not going to try to argue for Paul or to defend Paul's argument, but here's some things that I think are worthy of considering. A close reading of this passage helps us understand the nature of the community. To be a follower of Jesus and to be in a community of faith, to be a part of the church in Corinth, was to be set apart already. It was to have made a faith stand in a culture that was not just antithetical to the way of Christ, but actively involved in persecuting that way. The community members depended upon each other, and the community members recognized that those on the outside of the community were constantly on the alert for people within the community whose lives didn't measure up to the good news that they were busily proclaiming. So when Paul says to drive someone out, this is not shunning, but it is to call attention to that, to call that person's attention to the fact that their behavior has negatively impacted the community. This driving out was actually meant to be redemptive. Once the person sees the error of her or his ways, the thought would be that this would provide an opportunity for repentance and eventual re-acceptance into the community of faith. I think it's hard for us to get a handle on just how important it was to be together in community. I wonder sometimes if, for us, church isn't more like a religious club than a community. We pay our membership dues, we attend meetings, and then we leave the clubhouse. But for the people in Paul's time, for the people at the church in Corinth, they literally were putting their lives in each other's hands. There had to be trust. There had to be connection. There had to be consistency. They were depending upon each other because they could not depend on anyone else. I think that part of our lesson that we may be able to carry from this very difficult piece of mail is that none of us serves Christ alone. None of us is in isolation from each other. And what each of us do in our day-to-day lives actually reflects upon the community of which we are a part, even if sometimes we treat it like a club. Let us pray. O God, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son to reconcile earth with heaven. Grant that we, loving you above all things, may love our friends in you and our enemies for your sake. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Until tomorrow, may the peace of the Lord be with you.